Friday Report with Lucy Morgan on Isle of Wight Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the programme. It's 10 minutes after one. Joining me on the Friday Report today, then, the Isle of Wight Youth MP, Will Matthews. We've got Vix Lothian, who's the Green parliamentary candidate, and Isle of Wight councillor Phil Jordan, executive member for public safety. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon. Afternoon.
How are you doing? All right. Thank you so much for joining me today. You can have your say on the programme today in all the usual ways. You can text IW a space and your message. Send it in to 81222. You can tweet at iWhite Radio, hashtag Friday Report, and you can give us a call, 822002. You'll also find us on Facebook, where you can make your comments known. When we come back, we will start with the PFI contracts.
The Friday Report, getting to the heart of island issues. Isle of Wight Radio. This is the Friday Report.
Good afternoon, then. Welcome to the Friday Report, 12 minutes after one. And let's start, if we may, today by talking about the PFI contract. A management consultancy has been appointed by the Isle of Wight Council to help roll out the highways PFI scheme. Atkins is to assist until key vacancies are filled within the team that oversees the project. And the Isle of Wight Council says there are significant areas of uncertainty over the scheme because most people who set it up have now left the council. Phil Jordan, this is not a great state of affairs, is it?
Well, we're dealing with the situation that we've got, but what we have to do is get to grips with the management of the contract that we haven't managed to do so far. So bringing in Atkins at this point is going to be quite useful for us going forward. And we believe that they're going to bring the experience and skills immediately to address some of the outstanding issues that we have. There are contractual clauses, ways of working that we are not in accordance with the provider, with Island Roads.
What does that mean?
Well, that means that the contract is full of clauses, and the clauses sometimes are unclear. They are open to interpretation. And our interpretations are different.
And whose fault is that?
Well, I don't know whether it's a fault. I guess that's how lawyers write contracts, so that they are purposely difficult to understand. But difficult is not the word that they are, but you can interpret them in different ways, and that's what we're both doing.
This just sounds like you've had a sort of a year in the charge of the council now. I mean,
nearly two,
and yeah. You know, at the end of the day, this is a bit of mismanagement, isn't it? If you're just deciding now that you're not getting to grips with the PFI contract to the point where you have to spend more money to bring somebody else in, I mean, you know, surely this isn't great at all.
What's happened is that our contracts management team has depleted over time. We, for the first year of the contract, we approached our relationship with Island Roads in a very amicable way. We were happy to try and allow them time to make it work. There were mitigating circumstances. For example, they couldn't get the asphalt plant that they felt they needed to deliver their service in the way they did. We understood that. And so giving them some time to work around that, which they've now done, was perfectly acceptable, we felt. However, year two, and we're finding disputes over certain deliveries and certain services, and it's time for us to ask questions very seriously about it. Having said that, our contracts team has depleted slightly. When the contract first started in April 2013, all of our highway staff, that's all of them, were transferred to Island Roads, leaving us with no skill and experience in civil engineering or contractual management at all. The idea of bringing Atkins in is to immediately replace that whilst we're recruiting to replace.
So you're doubling up. You're doubling up on people doing the same job, because the whole point of giving this PFI to Island Roads was so that they would carry it out without further cost to the council.
Absolutely. That's what we were told. That's exactly what we were told, and that's exactly what we're not getting.
Isn't it symptomatic of like a bigger problem with this? I mean, we were told that we were supposed to have all our roads resurfaced in the first 7 years, and we're sort of 2 years into that. And we were told that they were going to do it, they were giving 7 years rather than five, which is normal because we're a tourist island. But then they've also held back on doing it in the tourist season closed. We've had no road building happening over the winter. I mean, my friend this week had a wheel buckled, you know, single mum, two kids, her wheel's buckled, she's got a fork out for that from a pothole. It's a concern from my point of view that maybe there's a bigger issue about how Island Roads are running this service, not just nitty-gritty clauses and contracts, but maybe I think you're fully right in that you need to get somebody in to look at this. It's unfortunate it costs a lot of money, and it's extra on top of what's already been budgeted for, but I do worry that there's something bigger than just tiny little contractual things about dropped curbs. I don't see 2/7 of the roads being resurfaced.
Well, Vix, they're not just small contractual clauses. Some of the clauses are fundamental to the way the service is delivered.
Yeah,
but
the only things that we've talked about are potholes and dropped curbs.
Well, I haven't mentioned those, but I'm very happy to. But fundamentally, for example, one of the issues that we can't agree on is what's included in the project network. That is still to be decided.
This was surely hammered out when it was signed. I mean, if this wasn't the first thing that the council read when it got into power, I mean, you know, what else were you doing?
Well, we were reading that, but the document exists, and it's a legal document, and it's a contractual arrangement between us.
But it's taken 2 years to figure out that nobody really knew what was in the contract. Is that what we're saying?
But we know what's in the contract. It's that we're establishing where the differences are between our interpretation. So, for example, the project network was a series of maps overlaid, and it was a list, and the two don't correspond. So the list has things missing off the list that are included on the map, and vice versa. There are things on the map not including on the list. And our provider is convinced that the list is the definitive version of the assets on our project network.
So, what's missing off one of those lists? I mean, are we talking about a couple of lampposts, or is it something a bit bigger?
It's a little more than that.
Such as
what?
It could
be supporting walls. It could be barriers on roads. It can be significant, but it's a principle underneath it, which is if we can't even agree what's on the project network.
And this is a problem with these sort of PFI initiatives, isn't it? You lose that accountability.
Yeah.
It's symptomatic not just of PFI the roads, but with schools being farmed out to academies and free schools, you lose that accountability.
Absolutely.
So unfortunately, you're in a position, you're trying to administer this from a local authority point of view, but you don't have the power to be able to force them to do it. You need to look into this in a legal way 2 years down the line, which is a long time.
No, you're absolutely right, Vix, and we are doing that, and we'll continue to do that. You're absolutely right. We've inherited the contract. We're going to do our best to make it work for this island, for the residents, but it's going to take some work.
But then I was reading, sort of linking onto the budget, that we're becoming a commissioning island, yep, local authority, aren't we? Commissioning things like commissioning these people going to run our schools, these people going to run our adult social care, these, you know, commissioning different things. And the problem with the PFI is a symptomatic problem with losing that accountability and having to commission people to do things. It becomes a legal minefield. It's the same with the NHS and putting everything out to tender and having to spend a lot of money on lawyers. Lawyers come out very well from all of this.
But bringing this back to the Island Roads issue, I mean, how on earth do you solve this? How much is it costing to bring in consultants to solve what probably should have been done 2 years ago?
Well, look, the question is not about what it costs, it's about what
I think
what,
it is
we
when
deliver.
we're going to come on and talk about budget and how much the council needs to save and what we're bringing in and how that's going to affect local people. I think it's very much about what it costs, isn't it?
Well, it's not about cost, because either we do this and we manage this correctly or we don't. That's the first thing. The second thing is we don't actually know what support and help we need at this moment in time until we establish that.
And there's no way to do that apart from to bring in a consultancy firm. Consultancy generally equals expensive, doesn't it?
Well, you say consultants. They're not here in the capacity as a consultant. They're here to actually undertake work and a specific piece of work. So we're not looking to them to consult and produce a report. That's not what they're here for.
Is it
deal with the backlog of work to establish what actual contract team resources we need, and then we'll move on to that, but into recruiting that, and we're doing that. Job descriptions are being created, and we will eventually recruit permanent teams.
So is it a blank check in the meantime, or
it's
have
not
you...
a blank check? It can't be a blank check. It's something we have to do, but it's not a blank check.
You've presumably had conversations with Island Roads about this situation. I mean, surely, as the commissioning council here, what you say goes.
Well, it doesn't work that way. We meet regularly. This week on Wednesday, I was at a board meeting with Island Roads. We disagree about many, many issues. And we need help in terms of civil engineering help, in terms of contract management help, and in terms of legal help to assist both of us to come to an understanding that we'll move this service forward for us.
This was supposed to be a good deal for us, though, wasn't it? You weren't there, but we were told 2-3 years ago that this was the best thing for the island. It's going to save us money. It's going to provide us better roads. And in fact, it's turning out, like all these things, that it costs much more money to administer and to force people to do certain things than it's let on. It isn't a fix-all doing it like this.
No, but you're right, Vix. It was sold to us, the all singing, all dancing, fence-to-fence solution. Put your feet up, boys and girls, and sit back and watch.
Like an all-inclusive holiday. It will pay this flat fee and it will cover everything.
And it's anything but that. And there are so many add-on costs that we're encountering, so many things that aren't included, that we have to establish what is and what isn't. And that's fundamental.
Now, we have had a story about things apparently going very quiet, Island Roads denying that. But, I mean, is this all symptomatic of these discussions that are being had? Are there backlogs? How big are those backlogs? Is the work continuing in the way that it should?
Yeah, as far as we're aware, work is continuing. And the reason that we know that is largely the case is because there are milestones that the provider has to meet. And those milestones are met by financial incentive. And they're quite large financial incentives. So if those milestones aren't met, it hits the pocket of the provider. Those milestones are probably being met.
But for example, we have to find that out. How do you measure those milestones? How do you know?
Well, we are given management reports monthly, and we measure those against the required specification.
But a lot of that has been things like street lighting, hasn't it, and the road furniture at the moment,
yep.
Rather than, to be fair, I think Ryland residents are more concerned about the road surfaces
fixed. But the milestones actually, Vix, are being met on surfacing. Mm. They are up to date in terms of what the contract asked them to do this far in. And they are actually 2/7 of the surfaces of the road. Where they're required to resurface roads, and you must understand that this contract is not every single inch of every single road on this island will be resurfaced. That's another thing that's been left off the contract.
So what's been excluded here? What's missing, and why is it missing? We were under the impression when this contract was signed that it was the existing network. Admittedly, new roads, things that were added, things weren't part of the original plan, wouldn't be included in that, on the basis that presumably, hopefully, they're not already falling apart because it's only been a few years. But, I mean, what's been excluded here?
Well, there are a number of things, and those are things we're trying to establish between us. That's very much why Atkins are in, to look at this and to understand what the contract says about assets on our project network and how the provider interprets that.
And so you're talking structural walls. Are there sort of roads that aren't included? Is it that fundamental?
Well, it won't be that roads exist; they're unadopted roads. But it may be that roads are not required to be resurfaced in the period of the contract.
Okay, because they were considered new enough anyway.
Exactly.
What, in 25 years?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So where do you go from here, Phil? What happens next?
Well, we're driving forward. We hope Atkins have been in for 3 days now. We hope within the next 7 days, so by the end of next week, we'll have at least a little report on how we can move things forward. And we'll open up discussions again with the provider to see whether we can move some of these significant issues forward. What we don't want to do is enter into lengthy and costly, expensive legal actions. We much prefer to find a partnership way forward and hope we can find that middle ground.
I should say that we did ask Island Roads for an interview this week. Paul Herbert from Island Roads gave this statement. We welcome the appointment of Atkins as we share the council's desire to provide the best possible service for the island. We look forward to working with the council and with Atkins to help us deliver that aim. And if you want to have your say, of course you can do that. Lots of ways to do that. Find us on Twitter today at iWhiteRadio, 822002 on the phones, on the text IW a space and your message. Send it in to 81222. A final thought, Phil, are you confident that this is going to have a good resolution at a budget that isn't going to cost the council the earth?
I'm absolutely convinced and determined that we will solve this problem. Absolutely determined.
So if you have concerns about the PFI contract and you want to quiz our panel today, then please do drop your comments in. In the meantime, let's talk marine conservation zones. Plans to offer better protection to the marine habitat at the Needles have been boosted, although other island sites will have to wait. The Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs has revealed a consultation will move forward at 23 sites around the UK, and they include an 11-kilometre square site between Hurst Point and the Needles. But others, which include Norris to Ryde, Yarmouth to Cowes, Bembridge, they've all been shelved. And the Marine Conservation Society says our waters are woefully underprotected. How do we feel about marine conservation zones? Controversial in their own way, depending on which side of the argument you fall with this.
I think it's very unfortunate that those sites have been dropped even before it got to public consultation, the official consultation which is undergoing now. When I read the documents, it seems to be the stumbling block is recreational boating for all of those sites, which obviously is important for the economy of our island, but these conservation zones aren't about banning things from those waters. It's about operating them sustainably, a bit like an AONB in the water. But whether we can see the AONB, we wouldn't do certain things in our precious land on the surface, on the land, we can't really see what's undergoing in the marine as an average person. And so it doesn't seem tangible to us. But really, it's about looking at these things sustainably. So fishing sustainably, still using boating sustainably, maybe changing the anchorage and so on. So I'm confident that a solution can be found for the third tranche, but it's unfortunate we're going to have to be delayed for those areas. It's all to do with looking for local solutions. And I know quite a few of them have gone through to the public consultation around the country. It just seems to be the Solent and a couple of other isolated spots.
Will, you're very involved with Cowes RNLI, and obviously, you know, that stretch out towards East Cowes there is the start of the stretch that one of the areas that we're talking about. And what are your thoughts on marine conservation zones?
Well, I haven't really looked into it that much, but as Vic said, most of it is the problems that affects recreational boating. I know they've had some issues with Yarmouth and Yarmouth Sailing Club, but to be honest, I don't really know enough about it.
OK, I mean, Phil, your thoughts on this? I mean, there's an argument to say that it's you know, bad for the economy. We're going to put people out of work if we bring in these conservation zones. And we are talking about quite a lot of the island's coastline.
Yeah, that's right. We need to get a decent balance about sustainability and allowing our businesses and commerces to operate and thrive. And also on this island, which has quite a big boating fraternity and attracts a lot of boating activity, to allow them to enjoy the waters in their own way. So there is a balance, yes.
Let's go, if we may, to the phone lines. You're live on the Friday Report. Who's calling?
Hello there. My name's Jay. I was actually calling to discuss the flooding. I don't think you've reached that topic yet, have you?
We haven't quite reached the topic yet, but feel free to throw your question in now, Jay.
Oh, okay. Well, the topic itself of flooding is far more far-reaching than, at least I think it's Councillor Seeley that's opinionated so far. It's a whole plethora of reasons. Predominantly, it's the land management. So we're talking about agriculture and the whole expanse of land management on the whole, because the cultural practices that we use are actually destabilising the soils, and therefore, when the the rains do come, and we have higher volumes of rain now due to climate change, they are the tendency for flash flooding is increasing. It's taking the topsoil with it, and therefore it's clogging up the rivers and the tributaries with siltation. So it's and of course on top of that you have roads which are on a pretty much an impermeable surface, and they exacerbate the consequences. And they actually increase the amount of flash flooding. So that is actually bleeds into the PFI, where more capacity in drainage should be looked at as well. But it's no good just dredging the rivers. It's completely pointless, in fact, because all you're doing there is addressing the symptoms rather than getting to the root cause, which is the land management. Because if you just carry on dredging, you're just going to continue to fill it up with, invaluable topsoil.
All right, Jay, I can see Vic's nodding. We are going to, we kind of haven't introduced flooding, really, have we? There's been a meeting this week. Residents in Ryde, among those attending the meeting, about a surface water management plan. Significant concern in the town and also across the island in terms of how it's being dealt with. Vix, you were nodding through Jay's point there. Did you want to respond?
Yeah, absolutely. When I first saw that you were discussing flooding in Ryde, it sort of brought home the Pennyfeathers meeting I was at the other week, where that's a huge concern for the residents of that area of Ryde. But Jay's absolutely right in that it's not just to do with planning and buildings, it's to do with our land management as a whole and having areas for our water to soak away, you know, soft engineering, as it were, rather than finding these hard engineering solutions by dredging and piping and so on. It's a much wider issue than Councillor Seeley would leave us to believe.
Phil?
Absolutely. Thanks for that, Vix, and thank you, Jay, because you have opened up the whole idea of flooding, where it ends up on the roads often on people's property, is a result of poor drainage, because it starts long before that. However, I would just say that it differs across the island, and interestingly in Ryde it's less to do with land management and more to do with Victorian drainage and Monkton Mead Brook and the pumping station trying to pump water away when it's blocked with sand than in the southern part of the island, and I've been out to Chillerton, where Councillor Seeley has his ward, where land management is an issue, and gullies and culverts and riparian ownership of land impacts how we manage flooding generally. So different. It's different. Sorry, Jay. It's different for different areas. But you're right.
I would agree with that, sort of on the surface, Phil. But however, we do have more. More water in the hydrological cycle now due to climate change. Yeah. So therefore, there are bigger volumes coming down in more flash instances as well. And you've got to take into account the topography. So you've got all this huge volume of water coming down, and it's not being absorbed by the land. People think it is. People think that the land's being saturated. But it's not on the higher topographical parts of the island, and it's flooding down. So either way, I mean, yes, you've got Victorian drainage and stuff in Ryde, but it's going to be over capacity anyway due to the larger volumes. I mean, obviously, don't build on floodplains. You know, that should be a given. Yeah. And the planning department should know that, just for the sake of appeasing self-interested development. Yeah. But yeah, obviously don't do basic things, but the issue of land management needs discussed at a much higher and more integrated level. I mean, yes, you're talking about the EU here and the CAP, the Common Agricultural Policy, you're talking about DEFRA, but within that conversation we can stimulate jobs as well, because you know, there's a lot of land management and stuff to go on, and through building a series of controllable trenches such as swales and ponds and lakes, where we're retaining water, and by doing that you will recharge the aquifers of the island. We've got a water problem on the island. You know, I think we import 40% of it. You will therefore rehydrate the landscape as well, because it as well as flash flooding during the dry periods, you have a look, go up on the land, have a look, the land's cracked. And that's why the land isn't holding the water, and it's due to agricultural policies, not just agriculture, but predominantly.
Jay, thank you so much for your comment today. You're obviously someone who knows a lot about the subject. Phil, do you want to just to respond to some of those points? Thanks very much for calling today, Jay.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. In general, I understand and agree. As a local lead flood authority, the council are seen often as the first person to turn to solve all these solutions. And as we're taking great pains to explain to people, it's a multi-agency approach to this. And Jay's right, it goes even further afield, up to Europe perhaps.
But there are some parts where, with the change to the council, with the countryside management proposals for us to farm off or try and find somebody else to run vital places which are involved in this flooding, like Brading Down, Afton Marsh, exactly the sort of thing Jay's talking about. And it's not just about, here's a pretty area for you to walk your dog and see some wildlife. Actually, these places play fundamental parts in our hydrological cycle and in preventing flooding. So I think we really need to take a lot of care when we look at who's going to take on those roles and what they're going to be responsible for, because it does concern me. It's not just about the countryside, it's about our whole water system.
All right, we've been name-checking Councillor Bob Seeley, and we do have some of his comments from earlier in the week to play. Thanks very much for your call, Jay.
Bob Seeley, and I'm the County Councillor for Central Wye. It appears that we have rising river levels, in part because the Environment Agency are happy to see river levels rise, and we have no dredging being carried out because it's no longer part of national policy, it's expensive, and also it's now quite difficult under European Union legislation.
The benefits that are accrued from houses and businesses and such like that are at risk of flooding are based on 2014. Properties built after that time in a floodplain do not accrue benefits in line with Treasury guidance. So unfortunately, a property built in a floodplain doesn't actually generate any benefits for us to justify doing additional works to protect them. John O'Flynn, I'm the Environment Agency Operations Manager for Hampshire and Sussex. It's true that we don't have plans to carry out dredging on the Isle of Wight so far, but the reasons for that would be around the benefits that would be derived from that activity as opposed to other forms of maintenance.
The overriding concern of many residents has been flooding.
Tim Wakeley, I'm the chair of planning for the Wye Town Council.
Huge parts of Wye are subject to flooding on a regular basis, and there seems to have been a failure by all of the major service providers to resolve the issue.
So there are some of the thoughts that we've been hearing this week. Final thoughts on flooding. I mean, isn't there an argument to say that we should just accept that global warming is causing flooding, and instead of trying to build things to stop it, we just automatically build to accommodate it, maybe? We build houses on sticks.
Well, I don't think
it's that bad just yet.
I think it's important, as I tried to express to Jay, who called earlier, that they are different problems around the island. In Binstead and Ryde, there are specific problems that are being addressed by things such as attenuation tanks and by Southern Water renewing not only the diameter of their pipework under the Strand, around the Strand, but also altering the drop and the level. In around the Strand, it's quite curious. The pipes ran to a central pipework at angles, and it increased the flooding. What they're doing is putting a one drop pipe in of a bigger dimension to carry the water away. Vix, I've seen pictures back to the turn of the 19th century, not the 20th, where the gates of the recreation at the back of Monkton Street had metal gates, and that area was used as a water receiver to hold back water until it subsided, and they could release it from the park area slowly through the gates. And that's quite interesting, because even in those Victorian times, they were experiencing the same sort of flooding, which is also interesting, isn't it, to hear that it's all to do with changes to our climate. And in fact, Victorians had it as well.
But as Lucy said, you know, climate change is happening, and it's costing money. To find solutions to these issues. It's not as straightforward. You can't ignore the fact that we need to adapt, and our adaptation and our management of our land and our infrastructure and our pipes and pumps, and it costs money. So it does need to be looked at to do that the most efficiently that you can.
All right, we digressed slightly into flooding because of Jay's call there. Went to it a little bit early. We've had a text from Richard. Marine conservation zones, we were talking about earlier, they would likely benefit the island economy. Rejection is short-sighted, says Richard. Marine conservation zones would benefit us rather than cause problems.
Well, when they benefit us, they benefit us. If they work against our economy, then they work against it. I think it's a complicated and complex issue.
All right, final thought on marine conservation zones?
I don't think it's as complicated and complex as that. I don't. Yes, they would benefit our economy as a whole, as an island. It's just we need to find a solution working with the communities which can see the detriment, which would be fishing and recreational boating. And it's about compromise, and it's about finding solutions rather than sort of thinking, well, we can't do this now. There are solutions that can be made, and I'm pretty sure, I'm very hopeful that it will happen.
And before we go to a break, a quick text. There's no name on this one. Are they serious? 25 years and the road won't need resurfacing. Are there any roads on the island that haven't been maintained in 25 years or since indeed 1989?
Yeah, there are.
Could you name me three roads to drive on the Isle of Wight?
I haven't got a list with me, but yeah, there are roads on the island that haven't been. Look, before the contract, we weren't spending £9 million a year on our highways. When the contract was signed and we commenced in April 2013, our commitment was to spend nearly £9 million a year on the PFI contract. We've never spent that amount on this island on our roads, ever, in one year. Ever. In fact, towards the end of the last administration's period, they were spending, in some years, less than £1 million.
So the PFI is good for the Isle of Wight?
The PFI can deliver for us better roads, better pavements, and a better environment on our network. But it has to work, and there's some work to be done to ensure that we get what we're paying for. That's what I'm interested in doing, is getting what we're paying for.
But only by spending more money to ensure that?
It's not a question of spending more money, it's a question of making the contract work.
But it is spending more money if you have to bring in consultants to make it work.
Without going into details, if there are areas of the contract service delivery that are not met, there are quite heavy penalties. If Atkins come in and discover that there are penalties and fines to be made, one might say they've paid for themselves.
So potentially, is there a get out clause for Isle of Wight Council? Are there ways for you to get out? Could you take the contract away if you need to?
In essence, we can, and it works on a penalty point system. So for service delivery that doesn't meet the standard and the requirement, penalties are and have been imposed. When a level of penalties is achieved, I don't think I would want to go into that detail of level, because it's pretty commercially sensitive, I feel, then there are termination points. So
it's always difficult, I think, to talk about commercial sensitivity when we are talking about such an expensive public project,
yeah,
which is being delivered by a public body like Isle of Wight Council.
Yeah. Well, it is. It is, because the contract's a legal document. And in spite of people wanting, needing, and me personally and us as administration wanting to be open and honest and transparent, we are constrained by certain laws and regulations. Yes, we are.
Have you issued any fines thus far?
We have.
Are you, what for? What did they not do? What do they amount to?
They are for not meeting the standards on a number of requirements.
Tweet in from AD. Stop painting white lines, start filling potholes in. It does come down to the potholes, it seems.
I agree. And potholes are top of my list. they're not quite the top of my list, but they're very near the top of my list. I'm going to get the potholes fixed, believe me.
You heard it here first, AD, which is going to be good for my car because its squeaking suspension is starting to drive me mad, actually. Yeah. Don't forget, if you want to make your point here, IW space message, send it in to 81222 on the text. You can tweet at iWhite Radio, hashtag Friday Report, and you can call us as well, 822002. When we come back, we will talk about the budgets.
The Friday Report with Lucy Morgan on Isle of Wight Radio.
Good afternoon. This is the Friday Report, very nearly 10 to 2. Joining me on the show today, Youth MP Will Matthews, Green Parliamentary Candidate Vic Slothian, and Isle of Wight Councillor Phil Jordan, who's Executive Member for Public Safety. We've covered several of the big stories this week. We haven't yet covered the budget. A revised budget was unveiled by the Isle of Wight Council ahead of the budget meeting on February the 25th. Back in the frame, charges on the floating bridge for foot passengers, this time without consultation. Community bus cuts. Schools needing to fund their own crossing patrols, that's lollipop men and women, and some of these discussions yet to be had. This close to the budget, this major, and yet discussions need to be had with schools about whether they can afford to fund their lollipop people or not. I mean, this is a little bit late to be doing things, isn't it? Is this being rushed through, Phil Jordan?
No, it's not. And we've been working on the budget for over a year, as we do every year since we came into office. So these discussions are going on amongst our administration, certainly, and to a certain extent across the chamber. Nothing's coming late.
We're possibly facing a situation with lollipop men and women, for example, that after half term, 2 weeks into the term, the schools are suddenly expecting to, you know, fund their own crossing patrols, that maybe after the Easter holidays, children are going to have to hope for the best when they cross the roads on the way to school. Because if schools turn around and say, no, we can't afford it, what's going to happen?
Well, I think the new leader, Jonathan Bacon, explained this and expressed this, that that's not the case. And we are trying to find ways of delivering this through different mediums.
Such as what? Where are you going to, within the next 3 weeks of discussions, where is this money going to appear from?
Well, one of the things we have to have a discussion with schools is there's some responsibility we feel in the schools to get their children into their schools safely also. And so that discussion has to be had. It's being had. And
so schools don't have enough to do. Schools have enough to do, I think, with already teaching and looking after the children and their welfare. It's another thing that gets put on the school, the head teacher, the governors, in order to organise. I think they already have quite a lot on their plates.
Yeah, but it is part of their welfare. I mean, getting children to school safely, why is it not all of our responsibilities? I don't understand. Why wouldn't it be the responsibility of the school that the child is going to ensure that the child is... Well, once it gets through the gates, it has that responsibility.
But it's finding individual solutions. So every single primary school has to find their own little solution, which is surely going to take up much more time for these schools, much more manpower, volunteer work. Whereas, you know, it's unfortunate for the council because their budget is slashed. And they have to find solutions for this. But from the ordinary council taxpayer resident on the island, their council tax is going up, the 2%, you know, in line with inflation that they're allowed to do, the 1.99%. The council tax is going up, the service is going down. People are having to find either volunteer, the community buses go unless we get other volunteers and way of doing it, paying for the floating bridge. So the council tax goes up, the services go down. You have to pay more for individual services. We need to make it very clear there is a national link here, and the problems we're having on our island with our services being slashed, services that people value very, very much, is because of a national issue, an obsession with other than austerity cuts.
So Vic Slothian,
the solution is a national solution. You know, you're managing here, you're fighting fires here.
Vix, come May, what are you going to do about that? Theoretically, you could be returned as Isle of Wight MP. What can you do personally?
We need much more representation in West, not just me. It's a cross-national issue, this.
What the Greens do or the Isle of Wight does?
I think nationally, the people that put themselves forward for election need to represent what the people actually feel, not representing certain businesses or certain, things that they believe in that aren't to do with what the people believe in. I think if you ask the people on the street about this, and I'm sure you get a lot of stuff that comes your way, Phil, about people complaining about this service being cut, that service being cut, there's a limited amount that the council can do. they still want to provide the statutory services and the other services that the people want to provide. But the solution isn't really going to come from the council, I don't think. It's a whole national solution with the current government believing that we need to keep cutting money for a whole range of things, but for local authorities it's a huge issue, and people need to realise there is a link between how they vote in a national election and what is happening locally.
Well, Phil, do you want to respond?
We've allowed Vix to get a campaigning piece in there, so well
it's
done.
It's what's actually happening, and yeah. I'm pretty sure that there are many other people that need to see this link. Yeah. You're not going to argue with me that it's not due to the budget cuts. If you had the budget, like when you became elected and you were talking about community toilet or toilets and the cuts that have been to the public toilets 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and how they affected people in your constituency very badly, and yet you're putting forward a budget which is resulting in closing the toilets or be replacing them with community ones, which you think is a solution. I don't think it is. But this isn't just about me campaigning. This is about me being passionate about the cuts that are happening to people that I know about, and the solution I don't think can come from our council.
Right. On that we agree. So let me just give you some idea. The idea that increased council tax of 1.99% pays for all of these services is a misnomer. Our council tax raises about £65 million a year. Our budget for adult social care alone is £68 million. So already our council tax is not supporting the services to adult social care, and everything else we delivered is not covered by our council tax.
And
it's covered by the revenue service grant and other income, business rates as well. And that on where I do agree with Vix is this is a national problem, and that is why we've been up to Westminster on a number of occasions. Our leader's gone. We've taken a party of people with us to plead special cases for this island, to explain that we are a special case, that we are suffering more than any other area of the country, and we do see it exactly the same. It's national austerity cuts that are affecting the management and our ability to preserve and sustain services.
I'm going to have to draw you to a close there because we have run out of time. We've got lots of questions, which I'm very sorry we haven't been able to get to. Catherine and Ventnor, what about cat's eyes? They are a must-have on roads. We should have them as a priority.
There's regulations on cat's eyes.
How much money in fines has Island Roads been issued and paid? Where does the money go? We kind of touched a bit on that.
That's commercially sensitive.
Okay, well, I think there are people that would disagree with that, but we have run out of time. Thank you very much indeed to Councillor Phil Jordan, to Youth MP Will Matthews, and to Green parliamentary candidate Vix Lothian. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Thanks very much.
Well, that has been the Friday Report. Goodness me, that flew by. We will be back next week, and next week it is a health special. Joining me on the show, Karen Baker from the Isle of Wight NHS Health Trust. You can get your questions in nice and early in all the normal ways. Tom Stroud is on your radio next.
The Friday Report with Lucy Morgan on Isle of Wight Radio.